So last week, Pastor John preached on forgiveness from God. This week, I'm preaching on forgiveness to others. The interesting dynamic here is last week, his message is a one-way street. You have two parties involved, yourself and God, right? So there's a one-way street going on. Well, this week, I will be speaking about three different parties. And there's like a three-way intersection going on here because this involves us, the person we choose to forgive, and God. And God will be directly involved in that person's life. God will be directly involved in our life through this process, and we are directly involved with that person. So this is a little different of a message. There's a lot more to dive into. Also, part of the curse of having to follow up from Pastor John is he didn't do a hook. If you don't know what a hook is made for the purpose of drawing you in from the start, right? As the purpose of a hook. And Pastor John decided, I'm not doing a hook. So that puts all the pressure on me to have a really good hook. So I decided, hey, why not put all this pressure on someone else? So I have a friend of mine, his name is Jeremy Milner, and he is actually here visiting from a church in Dover called The Church, The Body of Christ. And he is a close friend of mine. He's been a good brother of mine since high school. And he is blessing us today with a spoken word as my hook. Isn't that wonderful? What a guy. And he even brought his little son, Maya, who is absolutely adorable. So if the spoken word doesn't draw you in, this little guy will. So please, come on up, Jeremy. Here, Maya. Come here, buddy.
Uncle Greg.
Ah.
No, it's okay. Like I said, he was better behaved in the morning.
He was all tired in the morning. Now he's awake.
Good thing you're just holding him now.
Okay, I'm going to try to maneuver this. Oh, I think it's afternoon, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Good afternoon, good morning, wherever time it is. My name is Jeremiah Milner, and if you're close to me, you call me Jeremy. I come from the Church, the Body of Christ. My pastors is April and Christopher Hall. They give you greetings. Today, Greg, like he said, he wanted to be a little lazy, but that's okay. I still love him. He told me that I needed to do something dynamic, and if I didn't, we were not friends anymore. So I was like, well, you're preaching about forgiveness, so I don't know how that's going to work. So today... Today, what I have for you is a spoken word. It's my gift from God, and I'm going to share it with you. This spoken word is called 7 times 70. Dear Heavenly Father, the most sovereign King, you are so merciful and forgiven me of everything. You have sent your Son to take the lead, and our hearts and minds to truly set us free. However, Father, there's some trouble left in our hearts. The bitterness and unforgiving sin is deeply ripping us apart. How easy it is to forget love through grace and that Christ has suffered many stripes. It is easy to harbor resentment of those who crossed us in our lives. Father, my own walk has not been stayed on you. I lacked integrity, honesty, modesty, including all of your virtue. I know I am not worthy, and my flesh says forgiveness cannot be achieved. But Christ died on Calvary. I know I am redeemed. Not by my own works, because my best is but mere filthy rags. Now it's time I allow myself to forgive others, because your joy has made me glad. Throughout my life, even family has caused so many scars. The wounds from their wrongs they put me through has left my heart calloused and hard. How can I expect your mercy, Lord, if I cannot forgive my brother? How can I not accept your grace if I cannot teach it to another? Let me not be a hypocrite because I have so many debts. Lord, throw my sins in the sea of forgetfulness because your love has never left. Jesus, you have taught me to forgive 70 times 7, so no matter how many times one has done me wrong, I must show them love from heaven. Forgiveness and trust are different, and I must be wise. Trust is built, but not from guilt, and even that must take some time. So while I may be weary of others, Lord, my trust is only in you, because I could not trust myself, but your Holy Spirit has helped me through. Once again, thank you, Father, for you have wiped away my sin. Transform and renew my mind so I can be whole again. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jeremy. And thank you, Maya, for keeping me entertained. You're the bomb diggity. So... Now that we got that through, I would like to start by praying real quick before we move forward. Lord, you have seriously blessed us. You have forgiven us, of infinite sins, Lord. You have died so that we can have eternity in heaven with you. I pray now that you open our hearts to listen for what your word has for us. Let's dive into why you've commanded so many times that we need to forgive others. Lord, we love you. We want to obey you. And we pray these things in your name. Amen. All right, so in the topic of forgiving others, I think this is a topic that isn't delved into much. I think this is something that we know is a command from Jesus, like a lot of other commands. And I'm not calling out anyone here or us individually. I'm saying I think the church in general struggles with taking commands from Jesus like do not steal, don't lie, don't cheat, you know, forgive others, love your brother. And we don't dive deep into the whys and the hows. I think we just keep it face value. And what that does is it gives us a perspective that makes it simple. Like, oh, well, Jesus said forgive others, so do it. And that should be a good reason, yes. But if we don't know why and how or what the Bible really says about it, then it's harder for us. So we're going to dive into today the topic of forgiving others because this is a hard thing. And we want to make sure we know as much as possible from the Bible about what it has for us. So funny story, clicker is not working again, but hey, I got Nolan back there and he has my back. So we're perfectly fine. This happened first service. Do not worry. This is why we need to forgive others. We need to forgive others, first off, because the Lord forgave us. If you turn to Ephesians 4:32 on the slide, I'm going to share this verse. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." This is the foundation for why we are able to forgive. The entire message last week that John preached on about how we are forgiven from God, how our sins that we committed in the past, in the future, that we still commit today, have been paid for by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That is the foundation for why we have an opportunity to forgive others. The grace that has been shown to us is the reason that we can show grace to others, because Jesus is at work in us. So, if you are here today, and you have never asked Jesus to forgive your sins, if you have never understood that you are in need of a Savior, and that Jesus is the one who died for your sins and rose from the dead, then the rest of this message will not have as much importance. It won't matter, because you won't be able to grasp this idea of forgiving others without understanding that you are truly forgiven and loved. So if you do not know Jesus, if you have not made it a point in the past to accept him as your Lord and Savior and to have your sins forgiven by him, then please make that your priority today. If the rest of the message you listen to, if anything you get out of it, that is what we want you to get. That is the important part of this message, is that we are forgiven by Jesus Christ. For the rest of us, we know that we're forgiven by Jesus Christ. We understand that, and that is why we need to forgive others, because of the grace shown to us. Also, because in Luke 17, 3 and 4, this is one of the many instances that Jesus talks about forgiving others. He commands it frequently to his disciples. And this is only one of those situations. He says, "Be on guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times a day and returns to you 7 times saying, 'I repent,' then forgive him." If not enough that we've been shown grace, we need to show it to others. The fact that Jesus obeyed it and he's the Lord and Savior of our life means we should listen. We should listen closely to why he commands this so many times. Moving forward, there are other reasons that we need to forgive others, because there are 3 parties involved. I mentioned that earlier. There's us, the people that we are forgiving, and God. With 3 parties involved, they are all affected by whether or not we forgive. There are consequences and there are benefits for whether or not we forgive. Some consequences for not forgiving someone, they're pretty dire. These are very serious consequences. The first one, I'm going to read Matthew 6, 14 and 15. This is when Jesus is teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your heavenly Father will not forgive your transgressions." This is a very difficult passage of Scripture. Does this mean that if we do not forgive someone, God will take away the forgiveness he's already given us? No. if you've already accepted Jesus as your Savior, if you've already accepted the forgiveness of your sins, that is not what he's talking about here. What he means is, if you refuse to forgive someone, you are missing out on your relationship with Jesus as you continue to grow. There is something in between you and God for your relationship. There is something hindering. I'm going to quote John Piper here real quick. This is an article I read online. This is an awesome quote. He says, in other words, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors does not mean that we are lost if the old unforgiving spirit raises its head just once. It means no one who cherishes a grudge against someone dare approach God in search of mercy. God treats us in accordance with the belief of our heart. If we believe it is good and beautiful to harbor resentments and tabulate wrongs done against us, then God will recognize that our plea for forgiveness is sheer hypocrisy. For we will be asking him to do what we believe to be bad. If we try to come to God as we grow in our relationship and we have an unforgiving heart for someone else, then our plea to God for forgiveness is really hypocrisy. We're not understanding the grace of Jesus if we're unwilling to recognize the lack of grace we're showing to someone else. So this does not mean that God will take away his forgiveness. That is not at all the case. If you have accepted Jesus, you have been forgiven. Your sins are covered. They're paid for. That's it. You are now adopted into his family, and you're his child. But there will be something hurting your relationship with God, something in between as you're trying to grow in your walk. Before we move forward, I really don't like to have stuff in my pocket. Pastor Mike, you just showed up. Can you please hold my wallet for me? I can't stand preaching with stuff in my wallet. Thank you. You're the bomb diggity. As we move forward, more consequences for not forgiving someone. For us, in Hebrews 12:15, it says, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. For us, it means that we come short of the grace that God has for us in our lives. Yes, we are shown grace at the point of salvation when we accept Jesus as our personal Savior and we have eternity with him. Yes, we are shown that grace, but he has more grace for us each day in him. Each day that we obey, each day that we get to know him and we grow in our relationship, there's more grace shown. And we get to live a life of freedom and joy in him. It says here that we will come short of that grace. We are missing out on our walk if we do not forgive someone. And we will root up bitterness in our hearts. These are more sins that are holding us back from having a healthy relationship with Jesus Christ. Another very serious consequence for not forgiving someone is, what about them? What happens to the person on the other end that you refuse to forgive? If there's someone who may be part of your church, right? Maybe they know Jesus. Maybe they've come to you in repentance. And if you decide not to forgive them, this is what Paul says could happen. In the church of Corinth, there was a situation where someone had sinned pretty strongly against the church. He felt bad about it later on. The whole church was struggling to forgive him. And this is what Paul says about it. He says, but if any has caused sorrow, he has caused sorrow not to me, but in some degree, in order not to say too much to all of you. Sufficient for such a one is this punishment which was inflicted by the majority, so that on the contrary, you should rather forgive and comfort him. Otherwise, such a one might be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. Wherefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love for him. You see, if you have a brother or sister in Christ, and they mess up, because they will, we're not perfect, we are still living here in the flesh after we accept Jesus, and if they mess up and you refuse to forgive them, not only are they suffering from the shame and the guilt of their sin, not only are they missing out on the grace that God has for them as they grow in their relationship with Jesus, but you are now causing them to be overwhelmed with sorrow. That's tough. We should be supporting our brothers and sisters, not condoning the sin, but forgiving and showing the love of Jesus. Now, what about if they don't know Jesus? What if it's someone who's not part of your church, someone who doesn't seek repentance from you? What are the consequences if you don't forgive them? Well, I'm going to share real quick a small life story of Stephen from Acts. If you don't know who Stephen is, this was a man of faith. It says in Acts 6, 5, and 8, it says he was full of faith, he was full of the Holy Spirit, he was full of God's grace, and he was full of God's power. Because this is a man who trusted Jesus, preached Jesus in the early church times, even when he was being persecuted. And what ends up happening in his life in Acts 7, 59 and 60, the end of his life, it says they went on stoning Stephen. Now, he was being stoned because he loved Jesus. They're stoning Stephen, and as he calls on the Lord, he says, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this against them." Having said this, he fell asleep. Stephen lived a life loving Jesus and was persecuted to the point of death by stoning. And his last words that he uttered were, "Lord, do not hold this against them." This man understood their dire need to know Jesus. He understood that if he didn't forgive them, they could miss out eternally. The consequences for not forgiving someone, especially if they don't know Jesus, means you could eternally affect them. He understood that. So his last words were, "Lord, don't hold this against them." He knew their dire need. So as we talk about the consequences, let's move on to the benefits for forgiving others. There are some awesome benefits. For one, in James 4:8, it says, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. A huge benefit that we have for forgiving someone is we are living out the characteristics of Jesus Christ. We are drawing near to God because we are relying on him to do what we aren't strong enough to do. And it grows our relationship with Jesus. It helps us. And then in Galatians 5:1, it says, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." More benefits we have for forgiving others is we get to experience the freedom from that sin. Christ wants us to live in the freedom from sin. He doesn't want us to be chained down. He doesn't want us to feel buried and deep in our sin. He wants us to feel free in him. That's why he paid for our sins, so we can have freedom and joy in him. Now, when you choose to forgive someone, you are letting go of the sin of unforgiveness, and you are allowing the freedom of Christ to live in your life. Some other benefits for the other person, you know, we talked about the consequence being that they might know Jesus. Well, the benefit is they might know Jesus. That's a serious benefit. When you choose to forgive someone, you could eternally affect their life. You could show them love that they might have never seen before in their life. Ever. You think about it. Is it common in this world for forgiveness to be a theme? No. In our culture, you know, forgiveness is like, "Yeah, I forgive you, but I'm going to hold on to that." Or, "Yeah, I forgive you, but I got to pay you back a little first." Or something. There's always something to it. But the free grace of Jesus Christ is what we have. And we have the opportunity to give that grace to others. We could eternally affect their life and bless them. So knowing these consequences and these benefits for forgiveness of other people, we can move on to how we forgive. The Bible instructs us in many ways. Jesus, in many occasions, talks about forgiving. So we're going to talk about how we can forgive. First off, in Matthew 18, 21 and 22, Peter came to Jesus and he said, "Lord, how often should I forgive my brother who sinned against me?" He says, "Up to 7 times. Jesus says, "I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. You know what's cool about this is back then, the Pharisees thought, "Man, if I forgive someone 3 times a day, I must be super spiritual." Because the Pharisees, in their mind, forgiving is a difficult thing. So to reach the mark of super spiritual, you got to forgive up to 3 times a day. That's crazy. So Peter, when he comes to Jesus, he's thinking, "I'm going to double that and add one. I'm going to be super, super spiritual." And Jesus is like, "Nah, dude. It's not 7 times, 70 times 7. So what is Jesus saying here? He is saying you have 490 times to forgive someone. I hope that you are keeping track. There's actually an app on your phone. You can download it. It's called 7x70, to where you get to put a list of names and you keep track of how many times you forgive them. Actually, Pastor Mike is down to 434. He's not doing bad. I'm lying. That is not at all what it's saying. I hope you understood. It was a joke. I don't want to preach heresy. So what he's actually saying here is, you know, there's a limitless amount of forgiveness. 490 to them, in their mind, would have been like, that's unreachable. So Jesus says that to kind of blow them away. But Jesus tells us to keep on forgiving. And he had exemplified it, because I'm pretty sure when he died for our sins, he died for a lot more than 490 sins. We have endless amounts of forgiveness that we should be giving out. That is the point that Jesus is making here. Before I move on, I need something out my wallet. Can I have my wallet back? I know, this is awkward. Thank you so much, Mike. I forgot I had a thing in here. So, Pastor Mike, I got a dollar missing out of here. Any chance you know anything about that?
I may have misplaced your dollar.
Oh, okay. So you have my dollar.
It's possible.
Okay.
And I am sorry. Can you forgive me?
Mike, I forgive you. I love you. Hey, can you hold my wallet again?
Yeah.
Sweet deal. Forgiveness, right? You have to forgive someone. I forgot to get that thing out of my wallet. Can I get that back? My bad. Whoop. So, hey, Mike, so funny story, another dollar missing. Just wondering, you know, it was just 10 seconds ago I gave you my wallet. It was, you know.
Okay, I really am sorry. Will you forgive me?
Absolutely. I love you, Mike. You know what? Hey, can you hold my wallet again? My man, that's awesome. Thanks. Oh, wait, you know what? I don't need it. It's fine. So, Pastor Mike steals dollars out of wallets. I'm just kidding. Disclaimer, he doesn't actually take dollars out of wallets. I am using him for my illustration. Thank you for your awesome participation. The idea here is, when we think about forgiveness, right, we're told to keep on forgiving. Does that mean we should continue to trust? Ooh, probably not. If my dollar keeps being taken by Pastor Mike, maybe I should stop giving him my wallet, right? I could probably ask someone else to hold it. Hey, Ben, you want to hold my wallet, right? I could have done something else. Instead, I keep giving him my wallet. You see, when we talk about forgiveness and trust are two different things. In fact, Jesus wants us to be cautious. In Matthew 10:16, he says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves." Jesus knows that we're going out into a world full of sinners, because we're all sinners. He knows that we're going out into a world of evil, and that bad things will happen to us. He understands this. So as we are witnesses of Jesus Christ, and he wants us to go out into the world to witness to the sinners, because we are also sinners saved by grace, he says, be innocent as doves, because we are supposed to be like Jesus. We're supposed to be loving. We're supposed to be forgiving, because we want to share Jesus. But he also says, be shrewd as serpents. How does that balance? This is a very profound passage. It's really difficult to preach on, because it's so deep. How do we be shrewd as serpents while we're being innocent as doves? Well, the shrewd as serpents part, I think, is being cautious. When you think of a snake, right, like a rattlesnake, when they rattle, it's not because they're like, oh, I'm about to bite you, like I'm really excited to bite you. They're rattling because they feel threatened. They're being cautious. And that's why they attack, right? So I'm not saying, hey, go out and attack your enemies. That's not what I'm saying here. I hope you don't get that. But we should be cautious. Jesus wants us to be cautious. In fact, in Proverbs 22:3, it says, the prudent sees the evil and hides himself, but the naive go on and are punished for it. Jesus wants us to be aware of the evils in this world, of the sins in this world, and he wants us to be cautious of them so that we don't cause an opportunity for someone else to sin and we don't get hurt in the process. So how do you balance that with forgiving? Well, what about, you know, that's a very minuscule thing to have Mike steal a dollar from me. That's very minuscule in comparison to what some people might be going through. In fact, there are probably people out here who have gone through some serious hurt from someone else. There are probably people in this crowd who have maybe been abused in the past. You know, maybe you've had someone do some serious hurt to you, and you are struggling to forgive them. And even if you decide to forgive them, Jesus wants us to be cautious. He doesn't want you to step right back into that situation and put yourself in harm's way again. So if you're someone who's been hurt and you're like, I need to forgive, that does not mean you need to go be buddy-buddy with the person or hang out with them or put yourself in that situation again. It means you're putting it behind you. You're not looking at them thinking of that sin. You're genuinely forgiving them and loving them with the love of Jesus. But you need to be cautious. As we move forward, what about this idea of forgive and forget? This is an idea you get in the real world. People talk about it. Hey, forgive and forget. Forget about it. You know? Well, is this a biblical idea, if you think about it? Because you're never really forgetting, right? When you forgive someone, do you ever, like, erase from your memory the things that have happened? Absolutely not. So is this a biblical idea? Does God forgive and forget? Well, in Hebrews 8:12, God says, "For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." That sounds like a forgive and forget idea to me. But to explain it well, God is all-knowing. So if he says, "I will remember their sins no more," does it mean that he forgets about the sins that are in your past? No. God is all-knowing. He knows everything. So that can't be possible. What it's saying is, he will not look at those sins when he's judging you. Because when he judges us who have accepted Jesus, he sees Jesus. He doesn't see our sins. So this idea of forgive and forget means putting it behind. Kind of like how Paul, you know, the man who claims to be the chief of all sinners, he talks about in Philippians 3:13, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid a hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead." Paul talks about his sin. He uses it as a way to preach the grace of Jesus Christ to others. It's not like he forgot about his sin, but he puts it behind him. He forgets what lies ahead. He doesn't look at that and get chained down by that. He doesn't look at that and say, "That's who I am," because it's not. Paul puts it behind to look for what's ahead. So this idea of forgive and forget does not mean that it is erased from your memory. It means that you are putting it behind and you are looking forward. That's what forgive and forget is. That's true forgiveness. Now, what if it's someone, as we talked about earlier, who does not come to you in repentance? What if it's someone who did a serious hurt to you? They don't know Jesus. They don't want forgiveness. If you walked up to them and said, "Hey, I forgive you," they'd be like, "For what?" Right? What about that person? Does the forgiveness... Jesus talks a lot about if someone comes to repent to you, forgive them. What does he say about these people who don't seek repentance? Well, in Matthew 5:44, it says, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." We are supposed to love them. Now, that's not easy. Jesus never claimed that's easy. In fact, it wasn't easy for Jesus when he's being nailed to the cross and spit on to love his enemies, but he did. And then he died for them. And we're being called to love our enemies, the people who persecute us. I'm not claiming at all that that's an easy thing. In fact, I know that's a hard thing. But that's what Jesus calls us to, and we can accomplish that because we have Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit is working in us. So what does this look like to love our enemy? Well, in 1 Corinthians 13:7, it says, "Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things." Love needs to be enduring. You may be suffering pain from someone who is not coming to you in repentance. You may be persecuted. You may be suffering hurt. We need to endure. And that is how we can show love. Another way we can show love in 1 Peter 3:9 is not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. "For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing." So not just enduring the pain that someone is inflicting on us, not just, you know, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but we also should be giving a blessing. That's even harder. How do we do that? Well, forgiveness is a huge blessing that can change their life eternally and show them the love and grace of Jesus Christ that they have probably never seen before. So with that all said, if you are here today, and if you are like me and you struggle with an unforgiving heart, if you have someone that you can think of during this sermon that's come to your mind where you think, "I really have struggled to forgive them," Whether it be someone who doesn't know Jesus and you just want to pray that they might know Jesus, prayer works. God is at work in prayer. Or if it's someone that you do know that knows Jesus and you realize you haven't been a brother or sister to them and loved them, if you are struggling with an unforgiving heart the way that I struggle, we want you to come up here during the song. We want to be able to pray with you. We have our pastors. We have our elders and their wives. We want to be able to pray with you and talk to you. Or if you just want to kneel and pray and seek the Lord on your own, please feel free to. Come to the Lord with your unforgiving heart so that you can live in the joy and peace that He has for you, in the freedom of your unforgiving sin. There's so much the Lord has for us. So with that said, we're going to have music, and if you feel free, please come down.